I want to thank each of you for being here.
the restoration to faith in Philemon, verse number 15, it says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should have received him forever." Forever. That you would receive him back. That I want you to, Philemon, to welcome you back into your family. I want you to restore him to your family. See, this is very similar to the prodigal son. There's a parallel story here of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came home, and he's apologizing not only to his father for what he did, he's apologizing to God. "God, I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against my father, and I'm no more worthy to call your son." He said, "Remember, just treat me as a hired servant." What did the father do? No. He saw him coming back. He knew he wouldn't be coming back unless he was broken over his sin. That's what God is with us. He knows our heart. He knows if we're playing around. He knows if we're in revival service. He knows if we're being true on this brokenness part. But the prodigal father saw him, come back. And as he's confessing to the father's restoring him. Remember? Remember, he put that ring on his finger, which was symbolic that he was a son. He was not a servant, he was a son. And he put that robe on him to cover his sin, that robe of righteousness. And he put new sandals, new shoes on his feet and say, "You're worthy, walk anywhere you want to." He restored the prodigal son, the father did. Well, when you invited Christ into your heart, you got restored. Because you were a sinner. And sinners are destined to spend eternity separated from God. You got restored because of the substitution that died on the cross, and because the Holy Spirit interceded on your behalf. Because God commended His love to you, that while you were a sinner, and while I was a sinner, Christ died on the cross for us. Why? Because we had an offense. We were sinned. And we fallen short of the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, there was this restoration. Well, now you're supposedly a new person. "Therefore, if any man be Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new." We've been restored. One of the hardest things about salvation, I don't know about yours, I'm telling you mine. It took a while for me to really to believe that I've been forgiven. A lot of times you as an individual, or me as an individual, can walk around with false guilt. What's false guilt? God's already forgiven you for that, but you haven't forgiven yourself for that. And so we walk around with your head down a little bit. I'm not talking about getting up there and be haughty or arrogant. But sometimes as believers, you've got to lift your head up. You know, Satan wants you to think the way you used to be. He wants you to be downcast. He wants you to look down. He wants you to be depressed. And instead of being who you are, you're a child of the King. And your destiny is heaven. You have the assurance of that salvation. That's one of the greatest things about salvation, is the assurance of salvation. But he restores us to favor. We're His children. We're His children. Look at Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. Verse 16. It's hard to chop these verses off. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what?" For those of you who didn't look up the verse, let me tell you, we are children of God. Next verse, this is for you. Tell you a story. "And if children, then heirs." We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." We're not only heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Talking about restoration, we're back in the will. I tell my boys, I said, "Hey, don't be looking forward to it. We spent your inheritance fast as we could. On y'all. You're like the prodigal. You got it before we died." You know, inheritance when you gain it, somebody else is lost. You know? They didn't earn it. Somehow they got it. You know? We're spending that inheritance fast as we can. But we've been restored, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a right relationship, not with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're with right standing with Him. We've been restored. We're not separated from Him like we were in Romans 3:23. We've been put back together again. Been restored. The prodigal was restored. And he wants Onesimus restored. Paul's writing to his friend Philemon.
he's writing to this friend Philemon. And to give you just a bonus here for those of you who are taking notes, let me give you another element of this. Not only are you restored, but you've been elevated. You've been elevated to a new relationship. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ now. You've been elevated. You're just not a saved person. You've been elevated. And right now, you're sitting at the right hand of the Father with Him, because where Jesus is, you are. That's hard to comprehend. That's another teaching. We have been not only restored, but we've been elevated to a new relationship.
Onesimus' case, he got elevated from a slave to a brother.
Paul calls him his brother. Paul calls him his son.
He uses the word brother.
He's been elevated from slave to brother. Jacob, the story of Jacob that we did a few weeks ago, he got elevated from a chief to a prince. God changed his name. If you had that wrestling match, elevated. They call that promotion.
Promotion.
Here, right here in the book of Philemon, Paul is writing to Philemon, and what he is writing is the salvation process for you and me. This is exactly what happened to us when we got saved. And he's writing in this letter of asking Paul, asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus for stealing the money. And he laid out, last week was true, he laid out the qualities of a real friendship. He demonstrated the qualities of a real friend last week. But I want you to see the gospel in Philemon. It's right here. This is the whole gospel story, salvation story, right here in Philemon. In Philemon. Let me give you the application before we leave. I put this up here because it's long. And I wrote this out, and it's got a lot of words. But listen to this. Every aspect of the divine forgiveness. Yeah, this is about forgiveness. It's the story of the gospel, but it is forgiveness, because see, salvation is bathed in forgiveness. We've been forgiven. But every aspect of divine forgiveness of sin is duplicated in the forgiveness which Paul sought for Onesimus. The same one is for our sin, capital S-I-N. We talked about that capital letter. Capital S-I-N, that same forgiveness of our sin nature that Christ died on the cross for. He is also seeking it for Onesimus, Paul is in this letter. This is a practical lesson in the petition of a model prayer. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. He has told us he is the chief sinner. Therefore, he believes he's been chief forgiven. And so once we get saved, you remember, we still do some things that are not right. We still do some things that are wrong. And so 1 John 1:9 is for us that are believers. When we blow it, we still blow it. Philemon was still blowing it. Paul knew that. That's why he was appealing to his conscience. He of all people, Philemon should know about forgiveness post-salvation. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive your sins, S-I-N-S, and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. This same application, not only for capital S-I-N, goes with every day with us for the little S-I-N-S in our lives. That the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We have an offense. There's compassion. That God still loves us as believers and we blow it. And so every aspect of this divine forgiveness is listed out here. I quote some people, and I know this is not a biblical person, but I kind of like the guy. Paul Harvey. I'm going to give you a quote for him in just a moment. But Paul Harvey is such a practical person, and I found this, and I will close with it. Right here in the book of Philemon, in this letter, there are two theological, now we're getting deep now, two theological concepts of forgiveness and how the death of Christ is imputated. And here's where it is. It's right here. You see here in verse number 17 where he says, "Receive him as myself." What that is right there is identification with Christ. Paul is trying to get Philemon to identify Onesimus with him. Well, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, we've been identified with him. And so all in Christ, of Christ, through Christ, identification in Christ, who we are now is who Jesus is. That's why I said, as He sits at the right hand of the Father, we're at the right hand of the Father. I know we're in here, but we're there. But we're here, but we're there. Just like we're here, but we were in the garden when we sinned, because Adam was in the garden. That whole concept. We were in Adam. So when Adam sinned, we were there. We're in Christ. Wherever Christ is, we're with Him. And so the theological concept of forgiveness is shown in receiving Him as myself. Philemon, you receive Onesimus as if it was me. The second thing Paul says, he said, put it on my account. Put it on my account. That's what Jesus did on the cross. When our sins were laid on Jesus Christ, He was nailed to the cross. It was our sins. Your sins, my sins, our sins of all mankind. That sin nature was laid on Christ when He nailed on the cross. For right here in this little bitty letter of Paul writing to Philemon, he's getting deep theologically, isn't he? Man, the master writer letter. Here are the quotes I want you to see. Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey said this about the book of Philemon. He said this. If I were to covet any honor... Excuse me, back up here. Paul Harvey. Where's Paul? There it is. One tradition reports that Onesimus... See, he's always telling you the rest of the story. Don't you love Paul? One tradition reports that Onesimus later... Man, is this a great story? ...became the bishop of Ephesus in the 2nd century. While this is uncertain, the possibility is intriguing, Paul says, and suggests in a beautiful way the transforming power of the gospel in a person's life. Onesimus was a slave boy that was a thief. He robbed from Philemon and he ran. But his road took him to jail. That's good. Why? Because he met Christ in jail in the person of Paul. He has now been restored. Paul writes a letter. He writes a letter and one verse is got right in one hand and takes it and he pins it to the shirt of Onesimus. I don't know. He pins it to the shirt of Onesimus. He rolled it up in a scroll and put it on his arm. I don't know how he did it, but he sent the letter and Onesimus was the deliverer, not someone else. He didn't keep Onesimus here. Oh, let me send a letter to someone, Onesimus. Let's just sit here and let's see kumbaya and we'll see what Bob even says and then you can go home. No, he pins it to him. He sends him to Philemon. And Philemon reads this letter. The whole church read it. I don't know, I'm guessing. I believe that Philemon read the letter to the church with a trembling voice. Excuse me, being dramatic. I believe if Appia was the wife of Philemon, she's wiping her eyes with tears. I believe that Archippus, no matter what his relationship was, I believe that he too is rejoicing. Onesimus brought the letter to Philemon. Paul Harvey says the tradition reports that he ended up being a bishop, a leader in the Church of Ephesus. Wow, is that restoration? A lot of stories like that, very similar. Let me tell you. I don't know what your story is. We all have a story. That's my story. I'm not a bishop. I don't wear my collar on backwards. I try not to. God's so fit to come upon my heart. The retreat in Flashes, Texas, the Longfellow, Texas. Excuse me, Flashes. He called me into the ministry. It was so wonderful that he saved me years before. He called me into the ministry. And whether it's been good or bad for you, I've been here 43 years. Y'all bear with me. You may out with me, I don't know. But to me, it's like being a bishop. It's like you, in God's eyes, you're a thief, you're a robber, you're unsaved. And now in His eyes, you're a prince, your person's been restored. All arguments could be possible. One other quote. A guy that I know and I read a lot of, Tim Cole said, if I were to covet any honor of authorship, this few letter writers that are out there, it would be this. If some of my letters or notes might be found in the desk of my friends when their life struggle is ended. This was a master letter. This is a master letter, Paul. We just wrung some more out of this letter today. We'll bore the people to tears if we start wringing some more out of this letter. Zach can wring out what he wants to next week. But he could wring out something more out of this. And then he could wring out some more out of this. People, don't look at your Bible teaching as many hours as you put in. Don't look at it as the end. We haven't learned it all. And we can learn more. That's the beauty of studying God's Word. That's the beauty of opening up God's Word. That's the beauty of listening to someone teach God's Word. That you can squeeze it out and squeeze out some more, squeeze out some more. I doubt if you'll ever squeeze all of it out. All of it out. Here's what it is. This is the gospel in the letter of Philemon. It's not just a letter of asking to forgive a young boy. To help that boy out. At times I have to write a lot of letters in my 43 years here, write a lot of letters on behalf of people. If they're applying for a job, especially in a school district, I will make them sound like Carrie Nations or somebody. And they got to live up to what I say. But Paul was not writing one of these glowing letters of recommendation that we've all had to write for people before. This was heartfelt to a friend of his, Philemon, one of his closest friends, asking him to receive this young man back that used to be spoiled milk to him. But now he's not only profitable to you, Philemon, but I'd like him to stay here because he's profitable to me. And if Paul's heart is right, the rest of the story, you see, we in here haven't completed our story yet. But I know one part of the story that we have, and that's that we got saved. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Even though we were sinners, God commended His love to us by Jesus dying on the cross. And by accepting it, Romans 10, 9 and 10, by confessing and believing in our heart, the Bible says we can be saved. That's part of our story. That's right. Father, we come to You. We thank You for salvation. May we not take it for granted, nor may we take Your Word for granted. Father, may You continue to wring out more truth out of Your Word to us. Thank You for our Bible class in here. And those that teach and those that sit there that are learning and have so much as we're talking that they're writing down and they're seeing and they're feeling it adds to that Scripture as You're manifesting Yourself in all of our stories. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you.